This episode of Watch What Crap Happens is brought to you by our Patreon premium sponsors, Christy Dougherty, Mia Hansen Aloha, Cindy Gerson, Kelly Barlow, and Jess Sayin. Thank you.
Watch what crap happens, watch what crap happens. Who cares what happens when there's so much that crap happens?
To talk to other Crappens listeners about the shows as they air, come over to facebook.com/watchwhatcrappens.
And to follow us on social media, go to watchwhatcrappens.com to find all our social media links.
And for our bonus episodes and all of our extras, come over and be a premium member over at patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens. That's patreon.com/watchwhatcrappens.
Hey everyone, welcome to Watch What Crap Happens, a podcast about all that crap on Bravo that we just love to watch. I'm Ben Mandelker from BsideBlog.com and The Banter Blender, and joining me, as usual, is the always hilarious, the Grand Dom of Potomac himself. It's Ronnie Karam from TrashTalkTV.com and Rose Prick's Bachelorette Roast podcast. What's up?
And I will keep that title until it's taken away by the ones who've bestowed it upon me.
Oh, yes. We're talking some Real Housewives of Potomac today. We're talking some invite-only Cabo. And we're talking good times. Ready to dive into a week of podcasting, huh?
Talking about friendship. Yeah. The importance of a good partner. Come on, guys. Let's talk.
There is a lot to unpack on today's episode. I'm very excited about it. I'm also excited because, you know, we're now in mid to late June. The Big Brother cast was just revealed, and we are going to be totally dissecting the cast on the next two bonus episodes. So if you're interested in Big Brother, if you want to hear our thoughts on the new people, definitely sign up on Patreon and listen to our bonus episode, because
those bonus episodes are killer. They're so fun.
Yeah,
go listen.
Yeah, super, super fun. And we also in July have our 500th episode coming up, and I think we're gonna have something pretty cool to do to celebrate. So stay tuned for that. Should be really exciting.
Yeah, it won't be a live show, but if anybody wants to party on that Friday night, tweet at us or come on our Facebook and tell us, because if you guys want to, let's do it. Why the fuck not? We had a great time at our last party.
And who said anything about it not being a live show for the part of the celebration? Am I right? So,
Ben.
We have some things up our sleeves. So everyone stay tuned for that. And also, you know, last week when we were doing Real Housewives of New York, we had some fun. We released a single in honor of Luann D'Agostino's wedding. And we released it as like a standalone little episode so you could listen to it. But we're actually trying to make it available on iTunes so you can download it and add it to your music library. We're just waiting for
Ben
approval.
Ben Mandelker, I'm going to love it if you become a top iTunes seller. I will die laughing.
I don't really see that happening, but it's still just sort of exciting to think that we will have a single on the iTunes store, and it will be available ideally also on Amazon and Spotify, all the places that you get your music from. It will be there. We just are pending approval, and I'm going to give us a 50-50 shot of being approved because it is also a really amateurish song from GarageBand. So we'll see if we get through.
Girl, they don't judge you on that.
Yeah.
Trust me. I've had plenty of songs on the old iTunes.
Really?
And mine sound like absolute garbage. Yeah, I did one a long time ago just for fun, because I make stupid like a cappella music for fun in my house, and I did the same thing. I put it through CD Baby, and I'm mortified that people can still find it. I don't even know how to get rid of it. I've tried. I'm like, do I hire an internet scrubber? Like, how do I get rid of
late.
It?
Well, yeah, so I submitted it through CD Baby, which is a website where you can do that. And so at the moment they are like vetting it or doing whatever, but technically it's actually for sale right now on CD Baby. So if you want to go buy it or download it, you just go to CD Baby and search for Watch What Crappens, and you'll find it. We've sold one so far, but we'll let everyone know when it's actually available for purchase on iTunes and everywhere else, which will be exciting. I'm like so excited
for and me, because I get to like be a part of it, even though I didn't do jack shit, girl.
Well, it's all for Watcher Crabbins. All the proceeds go directly to Watcher Crabbins.
Oh, man, if you could get a number one for you and Luann, I mean, I will die.
I can't. Don't even fill me with those dreams, because if we could even get on to any sort of chart with that song, I literally don't even know what to do with myself.
Oh, honey, hope is low calorie. Don't cost you nothing.
Yeah. That would be my contribution to pop culture, releasing a single on iTunes with a shitty Luann D'Agostino impersonation.
I would die. Well, speaking of
contribution
really to pop rolling culture. Around in hopelessness, or the dangers of having too much hope when there is none, let's talk about the Real Housewives of Potomac.
Thank you. Please. I need to come back down to Earth, or at least to Bermuda.
No. I'm going to make sure you have a number one, damn it. I'm going to call every person we know and be like, get this to Luann.
I'm calling up Cara Delaguardia and say, listen, Platinum Hit number two has to come back, and I want to be on it.
Well, she's the one who wrote that finale song for American Idol, the worst one ever. So she needs to get off her damn box. She's like, I believe in mountains that are high. I believe in me.
I literally almost snarfed. I nearly, I said snarf. That's a lion. I mean, a Thundercats reference. What do you call it? When you almost laugh your liquid out of your nose. I almost did that when you said, I believe in mountains that are tall. Oh, my God.
That's so Cara DeLaGuardia. And then she listens to it sung back on the show, and she's like closing her eyes and putting her hands in the hair like my Meemaw, or hands in the air like my Meemaw at church. Cara, please. Girl, please. Okay. Real Housewives of Potomac Towns. We open in dueling vans on their way to a boat party. Okay, so this is Charisse's day, you guys, and she's very upset that Karen planned something on her day and took the two girls who needed hope and needed light in their candles to make up on some Japanese racing thing with a net, with a whale, with a tuna net attached. What the fuck?
Wait, I have to say something else, Ronnie. So last week we had to like issue all these corrections about the diva shirt that Robin was wearing and various other aspects. We had a lot of Potomac corrections to make, and we have to make another correction, because the person who told me that the t-shirts were from a historically black sorority said that Robin and Giselle were in the same sorority, and I just repeated it because I care to look it up. And now I got all these tweets saying, actually, they're one's in AKA and one's in Delta something, and they're two different sororities, and they'd be really angry to be in this, to be said they're in the same sorority. So we're putting it out there.
Oh, Lord. Can I just put it out there that we don't give a fuck, okay? We weren't making fun of that shirt because it was a sorority shirt. It was funny because it says Desperate Diva or something. And just saying that in Robin's voice is hilarious. Congratulations on your sororities. We're proud of you in general. Like, I literally do not give a shit about what Robin did. Barely in this episode. I barely care about what I saw this week, much less 20 damn years ago.
I know. I hate putting inaccurate information out there, but that being said, you know, we clearly did not do our research and we clearly don't care that much.
Okay, next time we see a t-shirt with a phrase on it, please let's research it. I mean, what the hell you think we're gonna do? Let's watch what crap is.
Everyone has been tweeting at me being like, well, actually Giselle was an AKA. I'm like, okay.
Well, when your sorority is called also known as, I should be able to call it whatever the fuck I want.
Well, I have a very good friend who was an AKA, so I fully support the AKAs. But yes,
I don't not support them. I just don't know enough about that. I didn't go to college. I don't understand sororities and fraternities. And the girls that I know who were in fraternities that I hung out with, or sororities that I hung out with at the time, I held a lot of their hair back while they were barfing.
Yeah.
And I don't feel like I deserve any sorority hate. I've earned my stripes in this sorority.
Someone give Ronnie a Bedazzle t-shirt and do it now.
Need a devastated diva shirt.
Here's what I do know. Here's what I do understand. I understand weird marriages, such as Ashley and Michael's, wherein he makes her use a flip phone when she goes international because she doesn't have an international data plan and therefore would use it up because she'd be texting too much. First of all, okay, this is sad because the only one who has a flip phone should be Karen. Okay, Karen's the only one who's allowed to have one. Just barely. It's got to be a really big flip phone from like 1997, okay? Second of all, I mean, is it an international plan that crazy? I mean, these are the Real Housewives. This is not a TLC show. This is Bravo. We're supposed to, you know, spend money. I mean, an international plan. Oh, God forbid you spend an extra $70, you know?
Well, let me ask you, was this in this scene? Because I think this was much later.
They were getting into the, I have it as my very first note of the show, that the ladies got into a van and Ashley has a flip phone and she doesn't have international because Michael thinks she'll be on the phone all the time, which is condescending and cheap.
Well, also, maybe she just bought a burner phone at the local 7-Eleven because Michael won't return her calls.
Michael only allows her to be on Boost Mobile.
He's like, did you get the Cricket I sent you?
I don't understand that game. No, the phone.
Oh, he loves me. The Cricket loves Pinocchio.
Ashley's arc coming to an end this season with, oh, he loves me after all, after he fires her, has to be one of my favorite parts of the season. That scene was so stupid and hilarious.
Well, she will graduate up to a full-on, like, she'll graduate up to a T-Mobile sidekick, and that will be the real testament of their love.
So what was Robin saying in this? Because Charisse has brought her hair and makeup guy, Gregory. And he's on the bus with the girls, and he's sitting there like, girl, just let me out of here. Could you just let me out?
Lingering in the background.
And Robin says, well, I mean, it's kind of weird that she brought her hair and makeup, but I get it. It's his money. What does that mean? The husband's money or Gregory's money?
I assumed, I don't remember her saying that, but it probably was something about, like, like, it's either Eddie's money or maybe this guy's going to earn money or, like...
Yeah, I never know. Robin's tone is so the same that I can never tell if she's joking or what she's implying. Because there's, like, no accents on any of the words. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just don't like this. It's his money. Is that she's a question? She's such a mystery.
She's an enigma wrapped in a mystery, wrapped in no cash.
Wrapped in IOUs. So she is sure to tell the girls. She's in the van with Team Charisse, which is Giselle, Robin, and her. And she's like, well, I want to tell you guys, like, I ambushed Karen, and I'm cool about it today. And they're like, oh, tell us everything, girl. And she's like, well, she looked like she still had to do some makeup, that's for sure. Ooh. Ooh, good one, Robin.
Ooh, what a great discovery when you ambush someone when they're mid-makeup treatment and they haven't got all their makeup done, that yes, they look like they have to get more makeup done. What a searing commentary on Karen's insecurities.
Yeah, I mean, you went from being mad last season at a black girl for being Jewish to this season of being mad that someone didn't have her makeup done while she was getting her makeup done. I mean, Robin, come on, make an effort, Robin.
This season is really sad, actually. It's really started with a lot of hope and potential, but at least last year, things kind of built to something. There was this interesting sort of, you know, like questions about colorism and interracial stuff and what does it mean to be black and Jewish and all that. At least it was going towards something interesting. And this season, this is what the season's leading to, is that Karen didn't finish her makeup and that she's hosting something on the Bermuda Day and Charisse is hosting something too and Charisse is opening up a champagne room. This is just, I mean, I would be shocked if Potomac gets another season. This is just not
yeah, worthy. You never know. So Robin's like, I was like, you're a hypocrite because it's Charisse's day, which doesn't make much sense. But Charisse is basically happy because we're not getting along, so I'm glad it didn't work out. Feet underhanded. Number one rule to Karen, please stand up. What? What are you even talking about anymore, Cerise?
I think maybe it was a belabored reference to Eminem, like, you know, circa year 2000, with a real Slim Shady, please stand up, with a real Shady Karen, please. That may be too high level for Cerise, though.
I know. Did you run out of Beyonce lyrics? There's so many. How did you go from Beyonce to Eminem?
I mean, I'll always go to Eminem's if I can, but...
So Robin vows that she will stand up to Karen, which, yeah, okay. So in the other van, Giselle is talking about how she's so excited to go on a boat. Because Karen's like, well, you know, I understand that it was her day, but we're going to a boat. And how do you feel about that? She's like, well, I'm excited to have a boat and I'm excited to be on it. Because now she's going to just worry about getting Karen into Giselle into as many fights as possible. Mm-hmm. So she's just having no opinion on anything, which is funny because with Giselle, you always know it's a trick, girl.
Yeah, exactly. So they get to this boat, and remind me, why were there so many guys on this? What was this yachting thing? I thought it was going to be a private yacht, but then there were all these dudes on the boat. Why was that?
Well, as Cherise so lovely put it, it's a single sunset single cruise. It's like double singles.
Yeah.
Single sunset singles cruise.
A lot of alliteration, but you know what also has alliteration? Sasa.
Sasa. And Karen's like, well, this trip is not about Karen or Cherise. It's about the Grand Dame and all the peasants bringing her gifts on a boat where men will carry her across the... Shut up, Karen. Okay, so the dudes are on the boat.
Yeah.
And I just wrote, LOL, of course this is a public trip that they bought tickets
exactly.
for.
Exactly. Exactly.
That is so Potomac.
You know, that they had to like share their yacht with probably a reality show that was filming on Bermuda, like the Bermuda Bachelor, you know?
Not one of you could fuck your way into a day use. I mean, God.
Yeah. So they get on the yacht and Giselle and Monique hug and everyone, Monique's like, hey everyone, look. And then she and Giselle hug. Everyone's like, ooh, but Giselle's face is still super tight. Like her lips are pursed. Like I fucking hate this bitch, but I'm doing it because I need to have an arc.
That was real because we had real moments today on a Japanese boat, which was also real, which unfortunately only two people could come on. Cherise, this is fabulous, this public boat. What nice work you did, Cherise.
What a great stage for my Asa kaftan, Cherise. Great work. Great work.
Cherise said, motherfucker, goddamn. So Robin's like, this assignment to go on a date from my therapist, which isn't my idea, and I had no idea enforcing. Juan, please believe me. It makes me uncomfortable, but these guys are hot.
So then Sasha goes downstairs in this yacht, and she sits next to this guy, and she's like, what's your name? And he's like, Belcurio or something like that.
Belcurio.
Yeah, Belcurio. And he goes, and you? And she's like, Tha-tha. Like, she literally said Sasha. I was like, oh my goodness.
Tha-tha.
Tha-tha. So this Belcurio guy, okay. Now, I really hate doing this because I feel like I've been doing it a lot on our podcast lately. But this man is a lady. This is a lady. And he's like, oh, hello, how are you? And he's like, I have my eye on your friend over there, a.k.a. Robin. And she's like, oh, you like her? And he gives her this look like, girl. I'm like, Belcurio. Yeah.
Belcurio. He actually did. He gave off a couple of looks like that through this scene. Because at first I was like, oh, you know, whatever. Not everyone's gay. I was thinking the same thing you are. I'm like, not everyone's gay, Ronnie. But then later when Robin was getting annoyed with him, he gave her another like, girl, like, you want to fight with me, bitch? I was like, yeah. Oh. No.
And like, I actually don't like being the sort of gay guy who thinks everyone's gay. But I'm sorry, Bravo has been throwing us a whole bunch of suspicious characters on that front, you know? And so Belcurio being probably the most, really the most borderline case in, since at least like a few weeks. And yeah, so Belcurio's like, girl, I'm interested in that Robin chick, y'all. So then Robin... and the best thing is, and you know that the other girls were saying that because Giselle turns to Ash and goes, of all the guys in the boat, would you have chosen that one? You know?
Well, I mean, he literally had duct tape on his legs.
Yeah.
This guy is so weird. So
he describes a friend he's looking for, and Sasha's like, oh, you're in the hurt. Robin, come here. You know what's so crazy? He described this person who's so gorgeous, and I knew exactly it was Robin because he said, the one with the bun in her hair? And I'm like, what are you talking about?
It's Sasha, the worst matchmaker of all time.
What is she talking about? And she goes, Robin goes, Are you sure you didn't mean Ashley? Ashley doesn't have a bun in her hair, Robin. It's like they're each trying to top each other.
She's
stupid.
Like, I think she's basically saying, oh, because Ashley likes sleeping with gay guys, right?
He's a little young, though. So the guy's like, yeah, she's suspect. She doesn't believe it. And Robin goes, so you shave your legs? And he's like, no, you want to feel them? Feel them. She's like, no, thanks. Why do you have duct tape on your calves? And he says,
I have an ankle issue ever since I had crazy sex with a fan. Like, what are you talking about, sir?
Yeah. And she's like, he's creepy. And then he gives her that girl look. And she's like, I'm going to walk away now. So on another part of the boat, Giselle is telling Charisse and Robin, she's like, well, the thing with Monique is she showed me a vulnerable side. So I'm okay with her now.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like because she had to do all the work there, right? Yeah. Monique was the one who had to be, you know, a human being for once. Not Giselle didn't have to do anything, right? She's the mature one.
Yeah, not Giselle, the robot monster, iron giant.
Yeah.
So who's Carney? Ashton and Monique. Oh, Karen. Huh. Dyslexia. Like, who's Karna?
Works.
So Karen is like, well, I'd like to apologize if anyone felt annoyed, but I had to only choose two of you, and as Meryl Streep did, when she only got to choose two of her babies in that dingo film, I chose the Asian
on one. That wild river, you know.
If Goldie Hawn comes for Meryl, Meryl will break her neck.
She could only choose one Roseanne Barr to get into a hot tub with.
So Ashley's like, well, girl, I would just appreciate communication because I'm into communication. Communication. Have you seen my cricket?
Yeah.
Ashley says communication 20 times this episode.
Right. And then Ashley hatches this ridiculous thing where she's like, I kind of feel like Karen's kind of overcompensating for something. You know, she's being so nice and so friendly. Like, maybe there are problems with Ray. Like, why would she be acting so nice? I'm like, she's just doing something nice. It doesn't mean that
maybe Ray won't let her serve normal food in their kitchen to their guests. It's like, stop projecting. Let people have their own problems. Okay, she's Thatha.
Karen, I don't know. Karen just scratched her shoulder, and she doesn't really do that often. Maybe Ray's dying.
Karen lost her room key when we were all on the veranda. I wonder if there's problems with Ray.
We're here in Bermuda, and Bermuda's part of the Bermuda Triangle, and Karen always likes squares more than triangles, which makes me think like she's going from 4 to 3, and 4 minus 3 is 1, and maybe she won sweepstakes, and maybe, like, with the sweepstakes, she thought she was going to get more money, but then she forgot about the taxes, and now she's in trouble with the IRS, and she's, oh my god, Karen's going to jail!
This dinner cruise doesn't have dinner. I wonder if Karen's having problems with Ray.
Valcurio hurt his ankle. I wonder if Karen's running out of money.
By the way, my Ashley voice is terrible. I'm sorry, everyone.
Well, Ashley's voice is like high, but it's not as stupid as...
Yeah,
it's
I'm making her Lisa Nicole. It's hard to not
veer into, like, Gretchen, you know?
Yeah, I was fully in, like, a Gretchen, Lisa Nicole place, but there's nothing I can do about it, people. I'm sorry.
I feel like last season I had an Ashley voice, but this season I don't really have it. Sorry.
I know. I feel like I had one too, but it's just not happening for me. But that, maybe it means that Karen's in trouble.
Well, if anybody's in trouble, they should go to Deepak Jizz. Because Giselle's over there telling Robin and Charisse. She's like, well, Karen went about it wrong, but, you know, I think you should talk to her, Charisse. Giselle, the great peacemaker. Giselle stomps on everybody on this show. And then a couple of episodes a year, she's like, well, I'm the big one here. So
let's make up. I can't fight with everybody at the same time you're fighting with each other, you know? So Charisse is like, make up. What did I do? I brought her on a meat boat. I should get an apology. So Giselle goes, yes, but it's very important that we move on.
Yeah.
Okay. So, you hugged one person, Giselle. Okay. Yeah.
So now Karen and Sasha are left alone.
Gandhi over there.
Yeah. Karen and Sasha are left alone to hash things out. And Karen is like, well, I just, you know, I was in a lose-lose situation. Because either I talk about it the night before and then become a whole big drama. Or I don't talk about it and then everyone's mad at me. I was lose. It's sort of like when you find out that laser discs are no longer available and you've just put in an order for a new player. I mean, it's lose-lose.
It's like when you walk into your champagne room for the first time and realize your husband isn't in that one either.
It's like when you... it's like when you... fax someone and say 2 pages out of 2 and people say, is that including the cover page or is it not including it? And just, you never know. Lose-lose.
It's like when Ray wants a gourmet pizza, so you put it into your white microwave and his pacemaker starts to act up. Lose-lose.
It's like when you accidentally get a modern TV bracket for your tube TV. Do you either mount the TV, the tube TV, or do you get a new bracket? Lose-lose.
Oh, poor Karen.
Yeah.
I also have to mention that Karen comes into this conversation going, oh, Charisse, you want to talk? Well, what a lovely boat. What a wonderful job you've done today. So condescending. Let me see. Karen is explaining the lose-lose. And then Charisse goes, are you going to stop talking? You should have said that you're about to go to... What you should have said was, Charisse, here's how I feel. I understand you. And the emotions of hugs. And I'm like, stop talking your therapy talk. You've had 2 yes. sessions with Dr. Jeff on the internet.
Yeah, exactly. And Sasha is, you know, I like her version of a housewife fight, which is to look blankly and say, am I going to get a word in edgewise? Are you ever going to stop talking? What you should have said is, Charisse, I have an amazing opportunity to do something amazing. That's what you should have said. But you know that actually, if Karen said that, Charisse still would have been annoyed at something. So then Karen makes some sort of apology, like, you know, well, I'm sorry if you felt left out of this wonderful opportunity that I have with these 2 girls, but I didn't want you to cry, and I feel sorry that you left out. She's like, that was a weak apology. That was a weak apology, Karen.
She's like, well, I'm sorry if I won't do the doo-dah or the who, what, or the quotes or the punctuation marks. That's just not how I do. And this is beneath me. And this is just made up drama. And Karen's like, well, you know, you did that thing. And Karen goes, yes, I did a fantastic event. And you're doing an okay job right now.
Burn.
Is this because of your marriage? And she's like, you know what? I'm going to go swim over there. It's like in the ocean.
I think she was going to said that she wanted to throw Karen into the ocean or something like that. I don't remember, but I think it was.
Oh, I thought she said, I'm going to swim over there. And I was like, girl, you're going to jump in the ocean. Yeah. And so Karen's like, oh, you're running. You're running away. Well, you're not going to brainwash me, which is how all brainwashings have gone down in history.
Yes.
From people running away. What are these people even talking about half the time? I don't even know.
And so Sasha's like, you need to do therapy, which is her go-to thing. And then Karen goes, I will pay you in dust and leave you here like the dusty bitch you were acting like.
I'm confused. So Cherie says, this boat was more than your net worth, the public cocktail cruise. Come on. Like, well, you won those tickets in the lobby raffle. Let's be honest here. You're the only 4 women on the boat, or 5 women or whatever.
Yeah, exactly. So now it's nighttime. It's Sasha's room.
Oh, I'm so sorry. I was just letting you say this, but I have to add this because Charisse goes, how much money you have, honey? Which is, Charisse is trying to be every housewife ever.
Yes.
She's going to be NeNe Leakes now. She says own it a few times as well. She's just like ripping off every housewife line. And then Karen goes, well, that's your husband's money. I looked online. And she goes, sell your house, honey. And she said, I didn't have to sell my house. I did it on purpose. At least I wasn't dragged out like she's going to be.
Sort of true, I guess, maybe.
I love when these women fight about money that none of them have earned.
Yeah, exactly. So now it's nighttime later on. It's 11 p.m. And I believe the girls have sort of separated, right? And so, you know, Monique is grateful at the moment. She's grateful that Karen has helped her and Jiz get through their quote-unquote little tidbit. you know, as I think she meant Tiff, but you know, what do I know? I'm the one who can't remember what the word is when you laugh so hard that shit comes out of your nose. What is that?
Also, mean? Yeah, I don't know.
I don't remember. Like, I want to keep saying snarf, but it's not snort. No,
that's also word, this short. Show really fucks with your brain because you're trying to make sense of so many things that just don't make sense.
Mm-hmm.
You have to draw a line somewhere. Like that whole fight between Charisse and Karen, I don't know half of what they were even talking about. They're just saying things in that attitude-y voice. Like, Karen, well, you're a dusty dust, and I don't like dust. Dust bowls, depression, that's you.
You know what? I have the receipts. Literally, I have a bag of receipts. What about you? You're going to have some bad accounting. That's what I got to say to you. Burn.
Dump in the thwim, okay? Dump in the thwim. So later in the room, Karen and Monique are, Monique's like, well, I feel obligated, you know, to be nice to Karen because, I don't know, she's been nice and she didn't mention the fish tank in my kitchen. So she's going to be nice. And Karen's like, well, Charisse wants me to apologize verbatim, punctuatum, and I don't do it like that. Well, that's good because it makes no sense. So in the other room, they're like, what did Karen say? What did Karen say?
Yeah.
And Charisse goes, well, I know what Charisse says. I can do it like this. This boat costs more than your house. I was like, why are you making her talk like that? Like, why are you turning Charisse into Red Skelton right now?
Yeah, they're basically just like, you know, they're... It's just back and forth between these people. And then everyone's starting to wonder, like, wow, I heard that Karen bought her house on foreclosure or something like that. Like, I don't know if they're talking about the original house or the new house.
I said her house was in foreclosure. And Giselle said, do you mean the one they just bought today? And she's like, yes. And Robin goes, well,
she's embarrassed because, you know, you're saying she didn't purchase at value. At the same value of other people's property in Potomac?
I'm like, is this the big scandal that Karen bought a house for cheaper than market price?
With Robin. Like, when was the last time you bought anything without a coupon you cut out from the back of a newspaper, bitch? Please.
Yeah. Yeah, this is, like, truly the most idiotic controversy of all time. If anything, you should be impressed with someone for getting a great deal on a house. Isn't that the way it goes? Isn't that what all these stupid house shows are about? That they got it for, like, $40,000 less? Isn't that the whole point?
Yes, then you remodel it, and then you sell it for a lot more money. It's mm-hmm. called smart people, okay? I feel like I'm standing up for Karen. And I'm not, because Karen is a faker. If she was as rich as she said, she wouldn't be living in some old-ass house with two different colors of granite on her counters or formica, a plug-in phone, a white toaster, etc. So Charisse is like, well, I told her, remodel, like me, my champagne room. All that girl really needs is a hoverboard. It's like, Charisse, you're so messy. Stop trying to make everybody think you're like Oprah, basically, you know, like. You're not. Stop.
Yeah, just shut up with a champagne room. And, like, this is not a great arc for you, that you are renovating a single small room that was an office into a champagne room. This is not impressive to us.
Yeah, it's sad. And I cannot wait until next season when her husband has watched this whole season back and watching her saying, well, if he wants to treat me like that, I'll build a champagne room with his money and buy a two-level suite. He's going to take that shit right into court and get her alimony cut.
Yeah, I'm surprised he hasn't already.
Wait until she's in a tiny little house. Can't wait.
Seriously. So the next morning, all the women are on their phones. They're all on FaceTime calling back, except for Ashley, who's on her flip phone. So cruel.
Michael, it's me.
I didn't recognize the damn number.
Click. Yeah, he's like, I'll have some people in the office. And she's like,
can you give me a second?
And he's like, but I'll have people here and I'm actually doing work. She's like, but
can I just want to check on you? All right.
All right.
So what is it? And she goes,
do you miss me?
And he goes, yeah. Well, I also miss getting staples in the stapler, too, because now I'm behind in my work. So thanks a lot.
I also miss all those lovely Australian dishes on the menu. So there's that, too.
Don't miss you as much as I miss the emu sliders.
Don't miss you as much as I miss Andrew with that firm buttock of his. Remember that? Oh, I love slapping that thing.
Great.
So Karen is also on the phone, but Ray won't answer. So she's just giving this long voicemail. She's like, Ray, hello. This is Karen, your wife, the Grand Dame of Bermuda. I'm just calling to make sure that everything is wonderful and you remember to unplug the phone before you packed it. And then she tells us, well, poor Ray, I hope my marriage can survive this because that man is pissed. He's having to pack everything up by himself while I'm away. And then they show the clips of the house, and they have like five movers doing it.
Yeah, exactly. That poor man, like, I don't know if he'll be able to get his khakis as high as normal without me there.
Ray is going to have one chapped ass by the time I come back. Literally, because he needs me to hose a tab every once in a while. Bad elbow. So in the van, Ashley, now they're going to croquet.
They're cricket. They're going to go see cricket. But Ashley doesn't know how to pronounce croquet. She's like, is it croquet or is it croquette?
And Jez is like, it's cricket. She says,
yeah, but how do you pronounce that sport? Croquette or croquet?
And she goes, well, how about we call this damn sport cricket?
Okay.
Stupid. But also, did you notice that no one could answer croquet or croquette?
No one wanted to go on the record either. So they just were like, cricket.
Is that the Atlantic Sea?
Yeah,
so cricket. Sea. this cast. So we go to the cricket game, and Cherise is immediately talking to some shirtless, tatted up dude.
Yeah.
And he's like, what's your name? And she goes, Tha-tha.
They are at, like, so basically, I think they thought they were going to a fancy cricket game, but it was clearly just like a local game. It's like if you went to go watch a pickup game of basketball, and all the guys that were hanging around there, they looked like they were just off work from the construction site or something. Like some guys were shirtless. They were
drunk ass poor dudes.
Yeah, they're just like drinking beers, just like dudes hanging out. And
so, I love how they flirt though, because they are aggressive. So this one's on Cherise, and he goes, how old are you? And she goes, how do I look? And he's like, 28. And she goes, oh, thank you, champagne. And he says, well, in Bermuda, age is just a difference. I'm like,
that's the way it is around the entire world.
Yeah,
actually.
That's like
that's how numbers work, actually.
The vision, geometry. Okay. So Giselle tells us,
I thought the cricket was where we wear giant hats and we watch the horses run by. It is not.
Yeah, that's called horse racing, the one with the horses.
I thought it was a phone. I thought it was a burner phone summit.
I thought we were going to see crickets racing. My money was on Jiminy.
So they're like, how do you play this game? Where are the horses? And this guy's like, well, there's a ball and a bat, and then you hit the ball, and then people catch it. It's really difficult. You could only understand it if you're local.
Yeah. You're like,
And one guy goes, well, I have to tell you, Bermudans love to party. And Ashley goes,
well, Jiz loves to party, too. I mean, her name is Jiz. Take her. Just take her.
And Giselle goes, well, he's no Kevin. He's rough, but I like rough. He can sand my face just by sitting on it. I'll take him. This is a sign that there's no more Kevin. My Kevin has already broken up with you. Stop front, please.
Yeah, please. Please. So then after this whole cricket excursion, Karen suddenly decides, she goes, you know, I'm willing to bury the hatchet because I miss my friend Cherise. I miss her so much. So she goes over to Cherise's hotel room. And she tells us, like, you know, I'm just very sensitive these days because I'm dealing a lot with my move. I'm like, moves don't make you sensitive. I'm sorry.
Especially like, when you're not doing anything.
Yeah, you are literally in Bermuda. You're not even around the stress of the move. You are in a beautiful place.
You've done nothing but stress out real estate people with your stupid, unaffordable dreams that are never going to happen. Yeah. Well, does it have a circular driveway? Really? You're living in an apartment building now. Are you happy?
Yeah.
Stressed out the entire town.
So the rest of the girls come over because they're going to do like a pajama slumber party thing. And Ashley is just wearing some sort of lame ass pajamas. And Giselle's like, well, no wonder why Michael has dried up pancake penis.
Yeah. I was getting a delivery at this time of a lovely pasta dish, and I was watching live on Bravo. So my notes until Karen is, my next note is Karen is here now.
that's what happened. Well, meaning that essentially they have this slumber party, and then Monique is like, girl, I'm having a hard time with my move. Like, I'm trying to get the utilities to work, and like, they're not working. I'm like, girl. So then
girl with the girl. And Giselle says, does Karen have something to say? Because she doesn't even want us to know where she's moving to. But I'll find out. By the end of this trip, I will find out.
Yeah. So then Monique starts to rap. Because they're like, Monique, do like rap. Rap like you used to. And she's like, okay. So she starts to rap. And then everyone starts to rap. I kind of wasn't paying attention at this point. I think I started talking to my boyfriend.
When you bouncing, that body, body, baby. And they're like, oh, that was good. Okay, how about you do it now, Robin? Wasn't it Robin? Yeah. Who had to go next?
They all went. I was really not. I'm like, I don't think I can be here for Karen Huger rapping about. She's like, my name's Karen Huger, and I'm here to say I'm the Grand Dame of Chesapeake Bay. I was like, oh, Karen.
That's so much better.
That actually is better.
My name is Karen, and that's it. I don't need more because I'm the shit.
Now, excuse me while I walk away and check my Fitbit. Because, like, as they say, This is going to be a number one. I can't think of the next word.
I'm so sorry for interrupting. I was shocked that Karen was going to rhyme again. I was like, that's a lot for Karen. Sorry. Robin's just like, my name is Robin, and I like Juan, and I'm just waiting for another chance. The end.
Like, couldn't you have maybe said something about swans? No. Like, oh,
okay. Juan hates swans, so
we went and saw The Black Swan and got divorced the very next day, so we don't talk about that movie.
My name is Robin, and I'm no pussy, but Juan is home, probably getting someone else's pussy.
Like, you rhymed
pussy. My favorite chocolate is Hershey Bar, but we saw Barbara Hershey in Black Swan, and now I'm far from Juan. Like, Robin, you gotta try harder. Stop rapping about Barbara Hershey.
Croquet.
I don't know what that's been sticking with me through this whole recap is.
Croquette or croquet?
Cricket.
Croquette or croquet? It's cricket.
My name is Sasa. I'm here to say I got a champagne in the room because I like the spring and the cherry blossoms are in bloom. Great one, Sasha.
Oh, good one, girl. So Giselle, we get the little scenes. Giselle's planting a tree with her mom.
They're home. Like, they go home now.
It's a tree. And her mom's like, oh, you're silly. And then I put other stuff I didn't watch.
I skipped right over it. There was, like a montage. The music was like even the deer couldn't show up. And then
the doe have learned when to sleep. They're like, suddenly, every time Real Housewives of Potomac shoots, we have found that the doe go into hiding.
They go to Great Falls, Virginia. Yeah. So, as go the doe, so goes Karen Huger.
As go the grand doe, so goes the grand dame.
You know, when I say I like people fawning over me, I mean that literally. I really like fawns, so I'm following them. So, Robin's back in therapy with her lady. And the lady's like, so, what's going on? And Robin's like, well, remember the homework you gave me? If you had to grade me, I would get a WTF. And the therapist is like,
it's like grade school, which is where I met Juan. I mentioned Juan.
And so the therapist is like laughing politely, like, that sounds sort of funny, but I kind of actually don't get it. And she's like, WTF, whole total failure. And basically Robin's like, well, she went on some dates in Bermuda and it made her realize that maybe there's something to explore at home and maybe she actually does like Juan. I'm like, bitch, you talked to two guys in Bermuda. Those were not two dates, and they were on Charisse's lame booze cruise, and one was at the cricket match, and all of a sudden you're back in love with Juan. You gotta do better.
The thing that bugs me about her is that it's just so obvious, and I can't believe her therapist doesn't just tell her, this is not your choice. It makes me so uncomfortable when she's like, well,
when I'm ready to let Juan back in, then I'll let him know.
No, Juan does not want you. How many ways can it be? How many ways can he literally tell you that he does not want you? And you're pretending it's your choice. And I understand the self-protection that goes into that and the defensiveness that goes into that. And you're right that you don't need an explanation. But please stop trying to trick everybody. It's just so awkward to watch.
Right. So
your choice.
The therapist is like, so have you, do you tell Juan that you went on, you talked to some guys in Bermuda? And she's like, no, I mean, he doesn't want to hear that. Like, why would I tell him that? I'm like, you have such a fucked up relationship that you're afraid to tell him these things. And he's out boning people, as is his right, because you guys are both single. But you're like afraid to tell him things. This is actually very similar to Ashley and Michael, if you ask me.
Well, like she's that. Trying to get him to fall back in love.
Right.
And if she was really intelligent, she would go home and be like, well, you're going to be proud of me because I finally went on a couple of dates. One of them's hot. He's going to call me again. You know he's cheating, and it's not cheating because he has permission to do it. You're not in a relationship.
He's
If you're going to be a liar, lie to him. Like, do this the right way, okay? Trick him, make him jealous, do all the old standard things. Possibly get pregnant, whatever. I mean, we all have soap operas.
But yeah, also, like, Robin is actually hot. I actually think Robin is very attractive.
Yeah, she's gorgeous.
And I shouldn't always come down to looks, you know. Of course, there's more than that she's attractive. She actually seems reasonably bright. But, like, the point is that, like, she could be a hot commodity. So why is she, like, slumming it with these dudes? I mean, I get it, too, because she hasn't really dated someone since she's 16 and she's nervous and it feels weird. But come on, Robin.
Juan is her first, you know? That's just not going to go away. That's her first. Yeah. So I don't even need it to be fixed. I just want Robin to stop lying to herself because it is. If you want to say, look, this man possibly hates me, but we're still friends, and maybe one day we'll be in love. And if not, that's fine. I've had plenty of fucking. I don't need to go out be drinking fucking, bringing men home. Like, I don't even have that craving. I'm fine just raising my kids with somebody and building a life. Like, fine. No one's going to, like, line up to copy you, but you deserve to be honest with yourself, cray cray.
Yes. Please, Robin, because I actually like you. So then we have Ashley, who goes to visit Michael at the office. There's, like, some sort of Oz meeting going on. The chef is there and the general manager, and he's like, just please excuse us. We're going to have a private meeting, okay? So she's like, and
he's going to have a meeting with the entire staff in his office, which has two chairs. I mean, are we supposed to even fall for this? And then he's like, hey, Ashley, would you like to have a seat or would you like to stand? So she sits at the table, which is all away against the opposite wall.
Yeah, this is awkward. This is supposed to be a married couple. And she seems like scared of him. Not scared like, oh, he's an abuser. But they don't seem like equals in this relationship. Like, she seems trepidatious about, is that a word, trepidatious? She has trepidation about approaching her own husband about stuff. It's like, there's definitely something bonkers about this, where their relationship is, just as how two people are relating to each other. So
he opens it, he goes, I want you to see things that we've done for the menu, because Pam jumped on it while you were away. Another fucking Pam. You know Pams are evil people. there was an enabler Pam in the last Lifetime movie I recapped with Malls, and we went off about this girl fucking Pam every time we could, and here it is, another Pam
isn't it on Archer, isn't the human resources Pam, lady named Pam
fucking Pam? Yeah, it's always a Pam.
Yeah. I may be wrong about that. Feel free to
You're right, you're right, that's Pam.
So he's like, we made some changes, which is really insulting because Ashley's supposed to be the manager. So it's already like very mansplainy.
Even though she just did the same thing to him last week.
Yes. Good point, Ronnie. Good point. And now he's doing it behind her back. Ugh. So then he's like, I want to modify your role. And essentially he makes her just the owner of the restaurant, not owner/manager. And he does it because he wants his wife back, which, on the one hand, it's like, how romantic. It's love is more important than work. But then on the other hand, it's so condescending. I want my wife back. And, like, you're not good at real work, honey. So, you know.
It is. I actually agree. I'm torn on this. I agree that it's condescending and mansplaining. But then he won me over when he said, because they show Ashley in her talking head. She's like,
this has never been a joint job. It's about what he wants and always has been. And for him to disrespect me like this.
And then it cuts back to him and he goes, look, it was unfair of me to throw you into a manager role when you had no experience. Now, that's what turned me to his side. Because this girl, I understand like being part owner and having a say and kind of learning the ropes. But managing a restaurant is not an easy job. Well, that's not something you just get to be a manager. It takes a lot of work and it takes a lot of experience to do that. That's not easy.
That's valid points at all and everything. And, you know, I get it. It's like, you know what? This is coming in between our relationship. We need to... Our relationship is more important than this position, and let's just fix it. But let her be part of that decision.
Yeah.
That's where it's wrong. Said, where it's like,
I want our marriage back. Would you be willing to step down and be an owner? You know.
Yeah, like it shouldn't have been when you were away. I changed it all. That's where it's like fucked up, and that's where she's not even looped in. She's not even allowed to have a say. She's basically been demoted, and then been told it's for the best.
She opened that door, you know, and that was her mistake in doing that behind his back. She was doing it because he would just say no anyway, but then she did it all behind his back.
But she's the manager. She was allowed to do that.
No, but, not as a. You can't be if a manager ever changed a menu without telling the owner.
She's owner too, though. Because she's owner/manager. The point is that like
both of these conversations should have been had together, but they obviously can't. So.
Agreed. But that being said, I mean, if he told her this is a restaurant for you and you get to run it and you get to see you know what it's like and it's your pet project, and then he keeps coming in and like doing stuff.
Yeah, he's an ass.
It's like it's very mansplainy.
He's an ass, but then Ashley's like, yeah, now we're in love again. It's great. I'm like, okay, well, that was an easy dream to crush, eh? And Ashley, in the end of the day, got what she wanted, which was the baby anyway. He wouldn't have a baby before. Then they had this restaurant. He said he wouldn't have a baby till they broke even. Then, because they got in that big fight and he thought she was serious about leaving, now she's going to have a baby. It's like, oh, good. Ugh. So... I guess she won in the end. She really just wanted the baby.
We all won. So then, actually, no one won more than Charisse, who is now ready to have her champagne room reveal party, which is really as lame as it gets. So, you know, the champagne room is ready, and Charisse, she tells us the champagne room is, it's my gift to me. How many times do you have to say that, bitch, about everything? Like, I bought a Snickers bar. It's my gift to me. You know, like, at a certain point, you have to stop... like proclaiming it as if it's like something special you did for yourself. Okay, you upgraded your suite. It's my gift to me. I got a champagne room. It's my gift to me. I use more of Eddie's money. It's my gift to me. At a certain point, you're just spending money. It's no longer your gift to you. It's just the way you spend your money.
Especially when she's bragging that she's taking it out of this account to get her husband back. This is just so stupid. But it's also so Charisse. She's giving him so much ammo, and I cannot wait to see it explode in her face.
I mean, listen, I love some Blue Cantrell, you know, justice. You know, like, use that credit card, go to Nordstrom's, all that, the man who did you wrong. I am all for it. But Charisse just does it in a way where I'm just not rooting for her.
And she also does it in a way that she doesn't understand that this is temporary. Like, she doesn't understand how temporary this all is because she's doing little things. If you're going to empty an account, move that money into a different account. Don't think that this money is never going to be shut off.
Yeah.
You know, it's just dumb planning, which is Charisse. I mean, the woman has a champagne room.
Yeah. Enjoy selling your house and having people come in and be like, you know, this champagne room's cool, but I wish this house had an office, a home office. That'd be real nice, wouldn't it?
Yeah, if you put $100,000 into this or take $100,000 off to put in an office, we'll buy it.
Yeah.
Sucka.
And we should also talk about the fact that Charisse is wearing a ridiculous headband.
Oh, yeah, she's wearing her Pocahontas. This is a gift to me, her silver Pocahontas thing.
Yeah, stupid. Well, I think it was more like Greek goddess sort of look. I don't know, because it was a bunch of different looks going on, because it was, as my boyfriend said, he was like, what is this Hare Krishna shit that's going on here? You know, it's
another housewives thing. And I can't remember who wore it this season, but another housewife did. Charisse is just a ripoff from every other housewife, but she does it in like the low rent community theater way.
So they're having
this big party. Thing. Yeah. And she's,
and by big party, you
diva.
Mean it's like six people plus two gays, like the housewives plus two gays and the designer. And they're sitting in her living room eating admittedly very nice looking hors d'oeuvres. But it still was this big fancy to do just to sit around in the living room during the daytime.
Yeah, pretty much. And she's still trying to do that thing where she's like, this is what I do. It's a party. Yeah. There's waiters. There's the front door.
There's a carpet in the living room. This is me. This is what I do.
Casual elegance.
She goes up to the party planner, who, of course, is the one who did everything. And she's like, is everything done? And she goes, yes, we've got this. Everything is done. Everything. Okay, Charisse, I would love for you to make a list of all the snooty things you want done, but you can't even come up with any.
Yeah, like what was involved in this to-do list? Like fluff the pillows in the living room? I mean, you know, like,
yeah.
I don't see like a stage being set up with Flo Rida to perform. That's a callback to the Black Gala on Real Housewives of Miami. Yes.
Also, this is a nitpick, but I really, if you're going to give me a tiny little plastic champagne glass full of grits, do not put a shrimp head on it.
Yeah, because what do you
say? Not just a head.
See, now here's the thing. I actually really enjoy shrimp heads because I like when you bite them and suck the juices out. But I agree. I feel like it's sort of like an annoying, like, what do you do with that head? What do you do with it?
Yeah.
Like I'm actually surprised the women did not make a whole bunch of, you know, snooty remarks about it.
Especially Giselle.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially Giselle and Robin, yeah.
I also like the gaze.
People are going to leave and she's going to look around and she's going to see exactly what she's created for herself, which is just a big mess of decapitation.
Well, she can make a good stock. So I liked, so everyone's like sitting in the living room and the gays are relegated to sitting in the fireplace. You know, there's, what's his name, Gregory, who is like the makeup gay. And then the little gay, the gay in training, who's like 20. So he's trying out all his fab things. And
he's
sit there.
He's wearing a faux camel, like detective. I don't even know what I'm trying to say, but you know what I mean? Like a big coat over his shoulders. And it was matching fedora, and then he just keeps doing this.
They were so like clearly looks. Token. It was like blatantly just token gaze, just sitting there. It actually was cracking me up. I mean, they weren't like interacting. I mean, obviously they probably did. It was edited out, but the way they were presented, it just was funny. It was like, oh, and here are our gays on display. Okay,
they weren't even in chairs. They were sitting on the fireplace.
Yes, they were in they were in the fireplace. They just looked so token. Like, oh, we had the gays here. Just to sit there.
So then Monique pulls a Monique and she's like, oh, we just got back from our new house. And then we had to go from Bermuda to Venice to, you know, Italia to Franc or whatever. She's trying to be all fancy. And she's like, well, if I could get here, Karen can get here. I mean, she doesn't have to pack if she's really married to the Black Bill Gates.
Yeah, exactly. Now they're all talking about maybe Black Bill Gates doesn't have a lot of money. Maybe not. I was like, does it really matter? Because Black Bill Gates is significantly classier than any of you people. So as Countess Luann herself once sang, money can't buy you class, okay? And he has something that's priceless.
And neither can no money, coincidentally.
So Karen shows up with a wig. So the way I describe the wig is if Winona Judd were black, this is the sort of wig I think she would wear.
Who, Karen?
Yes.
Oh, Karen. Poor Karen. Poor mess of Karen. And Ashley, they pass Ashley something and there's flower petals on the champagne tray. And she goes, oh, rose petals are my new champagne. And she starts eating them. Like, honey, those are garnish. You could be poisoning yourself right now. Okay, so Giselle's telling everybody, well, you know, Karen moved immediately. And she just came back and they had gone. And I'm licensed to say the word on the street. And the word on the street is she moved. Okay.
Great.
Good one. Good
great,
one, Giselle.
Great news. Wow. Like, what a scandal. Karen was talking about moving, and she moved.
Yeah. Ooh. And then we see Karen driving up, which I always feel so bad seeing a housewife get out of their car at a party. Because we're just used to not seeing people drive themselves. But it's Potomac. So she gets out, and she has to walk up the hill or whatever, and she passes what I think is one of those big, giant Toyota Jeep hybrid things. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I think.
The car that the girl in Real Housewives of Miami Season 1 bought her nephew.
You mean like the RAV4s?
No, the RAV4s, they look like bubble Jeeps.
Yeah, they just kind of, I think they don't produce them anymore. They stopped producing them like a year or two ago. They sort of look like safari. They're like SUVs, but they sort of look safari-ish.
Yeah, they're bubble Jeeps, basically.
Okay.
And I'm just wondering if Monique drives a Toyota. That's really the only reason I brought it up. Okay, next.
Okay.
I know
now
that's
it's
random,
time,
but...
So now it's time to reveal the champagne room. And so Sasha comes up. She has like a full on banner that it's like a print shop pro banner, you know, from like her, you know, printed out on her Epson dot matrix printer, you know.
Yes.
And she has her gold scissors to cut it. She's like, all right, everyone, time to see the champagne room. And she cuts the banner as if this is like the unveiling of the new, you know, Broad Museum in downtown LA. And the doors open up. And it's a champagne room. I mean, it actually looked nice. I'm not going to shade the champagne room for looking bad. I thought it looked nice, but
it actually looked really, really pretty. I couldn't believe how good it was.
Yeah, no, I mean, I was shocked
to do it, but it was beautiful. Even the IKEA shelving in the back looked nice.
But you know, two things though. It's tiny. There's only like three seats in there, so I kind of feel like if I want to have a champagne room, I want to be able to have seven or eight people in there, you know? So it's tiny, which is not really the fault of the champagne. It's just the fault of the choice of where it was. And I just can't help but be shady about everything. But also, Steven from Summer House, you know, we know and love Steven, the resident gay, the token gay of Summer House.
Yeah.
He sent us a screenshot. And I think this came from when they reveal the room and they have like the professional, like they pan through the room and show befores and afters. There was like full on like gross, like supermarket cheese sitting there all wrapped up. Like it's like, couldn't even unwrap the cheese for your professional photo shoot moment. So that, I knew I liked Steven for a reason.
Yeah. Thanks for sending that like over. Us. That's fucking funny. Yeah. But, Charisse. Oh my God. So she's like, well, Monique, of course, starts in, oh, these chairs are perfect for fucking. You put your arms up here and then he fucks you like this. Yeah. I'm like, look, not everyone has to climb onto furniture to get fucked by their gigantic husband, okay? She's like, you climb up this beanstalk and wait for him to catch you. It's like, okay, Monique, enough sex stories.
Yeah.
So Charisse is like, there will be no fucking in the fountain room. And so then they decide to go on Karen. They go back into the living room because there's nowhere to sit in the champagne room. Like, good design, babe.
Right, yeah.
So they go back into the living room. The gays get resituated on the fireplace. And then they're like, so...
I know why that's so funny to me. Like, they go back to their place like they're birds in a cage.
They go, Karen, how's life? And she goes, oh, good. You know, I've been with my designer all day. And they're like, oh, your designer. And she goes, yes, because we moved to Great Falls. Don't you remember? No, Karen, because you were pretending that nothing was happening last time. I mean, yeah. What is she going at, Karen? What is she going for here? What do you think?
She may just not remember what she's told the women versus what she's told the producers. I don't even know. I don't know why she's trying to gaslight them on this stupid-ass detail. But
I think the producer said, listen, they know that you moved, so... Because she's already had one dinner where she's yelled at everybody for being in her business. So Charisse goes, for her, move out of the house if they raped a kid then and move in the middle of the night?
you know what that's called? That's called moving. That's how moving works. When you leave the house and you just go to the next one.
Yeah, so Robin goes, well, that sounds odd to me. And Karen says, well, you know what I think sounds good? That I don't care how it sounds to you. And Ashley says, but now you're not the Grand Dame of Potomac anymore. She goes, I'm not into titles. And when I'm ready to give up my title, I will. But I've still got the title that I'm not into and I don't care. Yeah. And Robin goes, you can't say you don't like titles and then say you still have the title.
Yeah. I'm like, are you guys really arguing about this right now? Also, by the way, right before this, at one point, Ashley says something like, well, you know, Monique just bought a $5 million house in Potomac. And then the producers cut to Monique, and she's like, ooh, this champagne is great. What is it? They're like, oh, it's Veuve Clicquot. She's like, ooh, wow, I like that. I'm like, you don't even know what Veuve Clicquot is? Yeah, that's the only reason I put that clip in there.
I didn't miss that, and I fucking love it.
Because she said, oh, I like that, as if she'd never heard of it before. Like, oh, wow, like, I got to make a mental note about what Veuve Clicquot is.
I'm sure she's got a lot of mental notes. That one going on, scribbling, a lot of scribbling up there. So, by the way, have you seen that commercial that goes, you know, I think I was just born with a crayon in my head.
I have not. Was that for...
It's for one of the tablets, like an artist tablet. But it's like, is that supposed to make you sound smart?
Or brain damaged?
You know, I was born with a crayon in my head. Like you need help. Please don't ever say that.
Isn't there a Simpsons episode where Homer Simpson gets a crayon? Oh, maybe it's a pencil that goes up his nose and he becomes like smart until it gets dislodged.
Yeah, there you go. Either way, of course this commercial's coming on during Potomac.
Either way, this all climaxes with Karen being like, I don't care about titles, especially not when I'm hearing some idiot at the end of the couch talking about it or something like that. And Ashley's like,
don't call me an idiot. I already have a title, Robin. What's yours? And Robin goes, I don't have one. So what? And she goes, well, I don't care what you think. I will care when the people who bestowed my title upon me have a problem with it. So you? Who bestowed that upon you? Come on.
What silliness. What utter, complete silliness. So that was a to be continued. And then it said next week, on the season finale. So I think the season finale is next week, but then there was a promo that said the season finale would actually be in 2 weeks. We don't know what's going on, because so either that means it's a two-part finale, or it means that there's no Potomac next week. Because sometimes they'll say next time, and whatever. The point is this. Weird. Weird cliffhanger, as usual.
Weird.
But, you know,
but
again,
it ends with the coming soon clip, ends with the big Indian party, and so they're all wearing, like, you know,
Indian
saris and jewels on their forehead, and you hear Janelle go, what is this, Coming to America? Yes. And they're gonna play croquet here, you fucking...
Well, she
moron.
Said no, she said, was this Coming to America? Because Monique shows up as a Native American Indian, like Indian, like Native American.
Oh,
and she's
so good.
She's in a full-on headdress with feathers, so it looks like the, you know, it sort of looks like the dancers in Coming to America.
Immediately take it back. Yeah. But I love that it ended with Karen breaking down into fake tears with a fake jewel on her head. Yeah. I mean, come on. This
it's
show,
wonderful.
I can't wait to see how this ends.
But the good news for us was that even though the show was over, the fun continued, because on Sunday nights, we get one of my favorite shows, actually, of the entire week, which is Invite Only Cabo, which just cracks me up. Like, that Invite Only Cabo... What I love about it, I think you mentioned it last week, it's always the sort of the same scene over and over again, but it is so silly and so hilarious, and yet I get invested in it so much, and the ongoing saga of, in this case, it was Kamani and Agu and Emily. Oh my God, I love Invite Only Cabo. I really do. I hope people watch it.
Well, this, it's the little things in this show that crack me up. So we start, this is going to be very short because we're already going long, and really we don't need like an hour to talk about this.
But that being said, Larry and Emily are going to be coming on the show in about, like, we don't have time to record them this week, but we're going to record with them next week. And so we're really excited to have them come on and give us all the deets.
Yeah, that's going to be a fun one. I can't wait to meet Emily.
I know.
So this... It's the little things that get me about this show. So we end up back at the dinner where Agu is awkwardly smoking cigars with Joseph, Emily's boyfriend. And yeah. No one has told Joseph that Agu's done crazy sexual things with Emily.
And Emily, so, by the way, we didn't mention this last week. Emily, in her awkwardness, fully knocks over a plate of, a tray of glasses.
Yeah, she's like, I'm going out to... And she gets up and takes the tablecloth with her. Just all this shit spilling over. That was the first thing they showed, was that.
Yes, they're like,
oh. And now, dun-dun, dun-dun. Oh, jeez! Oh, gosh! Oh, the poor waiter. Sorry, waiter.
Oh, God.
So outside, Joseph hands Agu the cigar. And Agu smokes it, and he goes... You like it? And he says, we need scotch with this. And then Joseph just looks at him like, you fucking amateur. Joseph hates Agu already. And then we see him hand him the cigar. Like, he didn't even have his own cigar. And then Joseph wasn't smoking it after Agu. He just put it out on the ground.
Yeah. So that was super awkward. And then, so Emily does the right thing, which is like, basically, we're going to go home and have sex because this is too awkward. And the longer that we're in front of you guys, the more liable one of you guys is going to say something to Joseph. So, bye.
Yeah. And Larry's like, you could use the palace of Larry.
Yeah. You could use the penthouse, also known as the domain of Larry.
Please just don't get on the elliptical.
And so, I love that Larry, when he goes to sleep, so since he's not in his penthouse, he takes two... couches, giant couches, put them together to make like a big like couch bed. I'm like, Larry, you're like this, you're adorable and small. Like, you don't need two couches.
I know, it's like his little crib.
He looked very cribby, especially because he was like sleeping. At one point, looked like he had his thumb in his mouth, even though it wasn't. It sort of looked like that. I was like, oh, baby Lowy.
There's something about that with this cast and the thumbs in their mouth. So Jermaine and Malaku, the little gossip girls of the house.
Yes.
Jermaine's like, you know what? I just want a nice day at the beach because the beach is where I become Black Buddha. And I've had so much of this drama. They basically go to the beach and complain about how much drama. Bitches, you are so lucky there's so much drama because all you do is eat.
They love it. Are you kidding me? They love this drama. I want to like spend more time with Jermaine and Malaku because they just sit there and make shady comments. This whole season, they have literally nothing to do with the storylines. They just sit there and just crack themselves up and talk about all the crazy bitches in the house.
Yeah, but they're all crazy bitches. How could Larry have somebody in? What? He's not going to tell me? How did I go from the best friend to the best not knower of things?
I don't know, Jermaine. These are the questions that are only raised in Cabo San Lucas.
But I'm glad you did. So it's awkward with Joseph in the morning, but he gets out of there. And Emily's like, you know, I'm not going to tell him because he has the right to be able to react.
Like, not on TV is essentially what you're saying.
Yeah,
she's like,
which, yeah.
Which is nice of her. So I think it was then that night they go to, they're all having dinner, right? I don't know if they were at, they were at the restaurant. I think it was that they went to that restaurant, like Nikki-san or something like that. And doesn't it I mean, I just saw this last night. I can't remember. I can't believe I'm having trouble remembering it. But she starts to thank everyone, right? She's like, I just want to thank everyone because of, you know, the situation with Joseph.
Thank you for letting me do it my way. So I appreciate you letting me all handle my own consequence.
Yeah. And then she starts saying something and Kamani starts snapping. I think she starts talking about Agu. She's like, you know, Agu is like my brother. And like the brother that you, whose dick you sucked.
Yeah, because she said, oh, I was so scared. I was going to go out and be smoking because I thought it was everyone smoking. And then it was only them. Oh, but I like Agu. You know, he's the first one I met in the house. And Kamani goes, here we go.
Oh, that's what it was. Yeah.
And Emily says, what does this mean? Here we go. Where we go? Where we go?
It's are a fact. I met him before you. And Kamani's like,
And Agu goes, yeah, well, you know, we're friends. So what's wrong with what she said? We're friends. And she goes, well, I've had guy friends and I've never hooked up with a guy friend.
Mm-hmm. And Emily's, it's sort of like, it's like bullshit, not bullshit, but like in Emily's mind, you can see she's like, I thought we cleared this up on the last episode, right? Didn't we just have that dinner where we like talked things out, you know? So Kamani's already, you know, being like, well, you hooked up with him. So then Emily starts getting.
Yeah, I'm sick of all this talk of girl code because whether Emily has a boyfriend or not, she had a goo first.
Well,
so if there's any girl code, you're the one breaking it, bitch.
Well, but on top of that, I thought the whole point was that they hashed out the previous dinner. So now Emily's just talking about it like, oh, it happened, you know, like whatever. It was in the past. And so then Kamani starts up with her and then Emily starts talking, saying something. And she starts, you know, and then Kamani does that thing like, you need to keep your voice down. Something, some bullshit like that.
Yeah, she does that. Why are you yelling? And yeah. I like that every time she does it. Emily listens. That's one of the funniest things about Emily. She listens to what everyone says, which is very rare, especially for a crazy lady on these shows.
Yeah.
But whenever Larry's like, no, I really don't think that that's why what you did there. She's like, okay, Larry, yeah, it's true. And then she's like, yeah, but what? All I said was that I knew him first. And she's like, you're yelling. She's like, I just said that I knew him first. She does it every time. It's so funny to me. And Kamani's mad for no reason. And now Emily's mad because she senses she knows somebody drunk. Else is mad. And she's drunk.
They're all drunk, by the way.
Well, I have my own announcement. You know, you guys are always fighting, but the only one not getting in trouble is Agu.
Yeah.
And then Jermaine starts dinging his glass like...
Yeah, I was like, if I were a customer at that restaurant, I'd be like, what the fuck is happening? Stop clinking your glass.
Yeah, so they're always like a nickel machine wherever they go.
And yeah, for some reason, yeah, Larry decides he's going to turn on Agu. He's like, you know, Agu is the one who really caused this. And one of them says that, you know, Agu is the one, the stick that's stirring the pot or whatever. the spoon that's stirring the pot, but he never gets in trouble. It's like he doesn't get in trouble because, like, he's, maybe because he's hot, he's got a big dick, and also he just keeps his mouth pretty quiet. Like, he's just sort of quiet in these situations.
Well, why would he be in trouble? I don't understand that. He shouldn't be in trouble. These girls are fighting over a bone. It's so stupid. Emily's not even fighting over it. You know, she, like, licked the bone. She'll take the bone when she wants to and lick it. But Kamani wants to own that bone and bury it. You know, I've worked at a dog park for a very long time. These are two bitches fighting over a bone, girl.
Well, you know what? She is. She's like, if we're going to say that Agu is the bone, and, you know, Kamani is like, wants the bone to work hard for her so that way that, like, she'll pick up the bone and go and gnaw on it. And the truth is, the bone's just sitting there, so eventually another dog's going to come around. You know? Sorry, Kamani.
Also, you don't change people. And Kamani is acting like it wasn't just last night or two nights ago that Agu was getting naked in the pool and playing with his dick and trying to fuck everybody. I mean, Kamani's acting like this is her prince that she's been together with. It's ridiculous. Kamani's ridiculous. I can't with her. I cheer for Emily when she does shit with Agu.
I actually have a specific opinion about this, but I'm going to wait, like, 2 minutes, because we have, you know, I want the recap to catch up to with what, where my brain state is. So basically, there's this fight, and Emily's like, I want to go home now. Let's go home now. And they're like, no, we're not going home. We're going to the club. So Emily storms out and nearly destroys the door of this sushi place. And then they go out to the
typical
club.
She's like, I'm pissed. And she storms off, and then you hear, boink. And they go, did she knock down the door? And they go, no, it was locked. And she slammed it so hard it opened.
Oh, was that what it was?
Yeah. She goes, oh, sorry, guys.
Yeah, she does, like, apologize. She's like, oh, I'm so sorry. That's what I would do.
Sorry, waiter. Sorry.
Sorry.
Like, damn,
so
Arnold.
They go to the club, and everyone's having a great time except for Emily. And she's gnawing off her nails. Like, those Lee Press-on nails never had a chance at this, because she's so mad about this whole fight. And she's like, but she's also getting drunker and drunker. And finally, she's like, I go to car now. So she goes outside.
Yeah, because Agu goes out on the dance floor with Kamani. And he's humping her leg. He's literally humping her leg. And she goes, you need to get a little more subtlety, babe.
Yeah. She's like, oh, yeah.
And he's like, well, she'll hump my leg and grind up on me, but she won't even let me kiss her. Ooh. Like, she's such a tease.
Yeah. Which I don't like when people say that. However, you'll see I'm going to say something that will sound contradictory, but I think it will all flow properly when I say it. Ideally. It depends how much of this caffeine kicks in before we get to there. So
I look forward to it.
Yeah, it's coming up, everyone. Spoiler alert, I'm about to make some statements. So,
buy a Casper mattress, just kidding. Yeah. Cut in for a commercial.
So then, so Emily is now drunk enough and exhausted and furious that she goes out to the van, and she sort of, like, passes out on the van and, like, lies down with, like, her foot up and everything. And then Larry's like, you guys, we gotta go, guys. And they all are like, fine, we're gonna leave because Emily's passed out and drunk and we don't want her to.
Why can't they just send a car home with Emily?
They probably have a rule. It's probably a rule that there always have to be, like, groups of people together. I don't know. But so they all hop into the cars. And Emily, she is drunk and she is tired and she just wants to pass out. And they keep pestering her, and she winds up in all these weird positions in the backseat. At, like, one point, I swear, she's, like, on her knees on the seat with her face, like, backwards. Like, she's just in every unnatural position, right? And they're all just, like, drunk and all that. And eventually, she winds up where she puts her head on a goose lap. And already, you're like, okay, this is going to be awkward, you know? So, naturally, what does one do in that situation? Take selfies. So, they're all taking photos on Instagram. And I love how, like, Emily is, like, passed out. But she, like, opens up her eyes and smiles. And then gets back to passing out again, you know.
And I have to add in here. There was a quick scene. Well, it was a big fight scene with Kamani. Because she's going after her again. Maybe this was the same fight from the restaurant.
It could have been.
But she's like, oh, he's like your brother. Do you suck your brother's dick? This and that. Like, this girl. That's all I had to say. I just had that highlighted because Kamani, really, last nerve.
Yeah. So during this scene, while they're looking on Instagram and everything, I was watching this with my boyfriend, and he was like, is his hand in her skirt? I was like, what? I was like, I mean, and I was like, oh, yeah, it is. I was like, but I think it's probably just
whatever. No, it wasn't subtle. he lifted his hand way up in the air and slowly brought it down. And yes. Bianca was taking a video of it.
Yeah. And then they're like, Agu, what are you doing? And then he starts saying something like, my hand hadn't even gotten that far. It had something like that. And they're like, Agu, I have a theory that it actually was, they were doing more than what we saw on camera, because the ensuing aftermath of this was so huge from what it sort of looked like. I mean, he was obviously going up there, but they made it sound like they were fully having sex back there, you know?
Well, okay, a couple things. Now, yes. The reason he ended up in the back seat was because Bianca couldn't sit back there with Emily sleeping.
Yeah.
So he gets back there instead, pushes Emily up, and she curls up in the corner like, I'm mad and sleeping, and faces the window, yeah. Okay? So then they start... laugh. Everybody starts cracking up yeah. in the car and making fun of Emily for being drunk. And then they make some joke like she says, I just want to sleep. And he goes, well, you are going to sleep and you won't remember anything tomorrow, but I'll tell you. So she goes to sleep, eating her nails, blah, blah, blah. Oh, wait, hold on. Let me get to this point because we have to make this point because it turns into such drama. So they start teasing her and they're like, oh, what? You guys are probably just going to jump on each other or something like that. They make a sexual comment. And Emily starts laughing, and then she's like, good mood, Emily. She goes from, like, curled yeah. up in a corner. She's like, oh, okay. And then she lays like, in his lap.
Yeah.
And then that's when he does the hand thing, and Bianca turns around. She's like, what are you doing? And he's like, I didn't even get to finish because you were taking a fucking selfie of it, you know? Mm-hmm. So they get back to the place, and Bianca's like, someone has to tell Kamani.
Yes. And that's
so what, now this is all Bianca now.
Yeah, because well, that's why I was so. That's why I think something happened that we didn't get to see. Because even though his hands, to me, I was like, oh, someone has to tell Bianca, Kamani. There has to be a conversation. They have to talk. I was like, what happened? Like, all I saw was like that his hand was like resting in a certain place, but then later on, it became much more like basically like he was fingering her, and I was like, well, that is a thing. That is a significant thing. I feel like there was something that was edited out.
I don't know that he got that far because she was laying
on her back. We have to ask Larry. We have to ask Larry.
Her head in his lap, and you know it's Emily, so you know she's rubbing her head on his dick. It's not like it's the first time. And then he brought his hand up so everybody could see it. I mean, he was doing it almost funnily, I guess, which I don't really find it funny, but I think in his mind he was doing it that way. And he put it down in her thing. Bianca caught them and made a huge deal out of it. Now, right. On our Facebook, a couple of people were like, that girl is drunk and he's basically assaulting her.
Yeah,
that's assault, which is, you know, kind of the discussion the whole yeah, country is having at this moment.
Right.
And it is a good discussion to have. And there's no way to win on this discussion because she could wake up and call that assault. And that's yeah. just the law now. So whether you agree with it or not, and I personally don't know that I do. But if she woke up tomorrow morning and decided to say, I was blackout drunk, he knew it, and he took advantage of me, and he could go to jail. I mean, that's serious shit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Now, this is Emily, and we've seen Emily do this a million times and then use the blackout drunk excuse later to not be in trouble. And she even does
it
this time.
She only did it once, really.
She tells Larry, and they're all in the car together still. She goes, Larry, you know, like, oh, no, maybe it's the next day.
It was the next day.
When Kamani, whatever happened when Emily knew she was in trouble. She goes, Larry, please, when you tell, no, she's telling Agu.
Agu, like, can you just make sure you emphasize the fact that I was, like, you did this to me that I wasn't, like, that I was passed out. You know, I just wanted to go to sleep, which I actually believe.
No, because then Larry said, oh, so you're saying you want me to lie? I'm not going to do that. She goes, that's why I asked Agu. And then she started cracking up. That it's not the truth. She was not passed out.
Well, no, I think, I mean, I don't know. I do remember that she said that, but I kind of feel like she knows that if Larry says it, Larry's going to make it sound like more than it is. Cause Larry is the biggest shitster on the show, you know, but either way,
saying, well, you make it sound like he did this to me, which, you know, that has to stop. Like that guy could go to jail now. I mean, I agree that he's a pig and men don't be fucking fall down drunk women. You will go to jail. Okay? Well, it doesn't yeah. even matter if they say it's there. There's no excuse. You can't do it. Just don't do it.
Yes. So that being said, so Bianca and Larry are like, you're going to have to talk with Kamani. You're going to have to talk. You're going to have to talk. And I was like, fine. So they go out to the beach. It's kind of funny because Kamani and Emily are like now in a good space out of nowhere. Kamani's doing Emily's roots and all this stuff. And Emily's like, I feel kind of bad, you know, but I need my roots done. So they go to the beach and Agu's like, I don't want to ruin the day. So finally Bianca's like, sits between Kamani and Agu's like, did you have the talk? Did you have the talk? And Agu's like, fine. So he takes Kamani over. He's like, so last night, Emily was intoxicated. And I love when people suddenly stop saying she was drunk. She was intoxicated. He'd start talking formally, you know, because you're in trouble. And he's like, she's intoxicated. And she put her head down in my lap region, etc. And my hand wound up going up her skirt. And then Kamani's like, this conversation's over, and goes off to the bathroom. And then the rest of the episode is basically the aftermath of this. Like, Kamani is crying. She's furious. She's humiliated. She's
I
like,
mean,
fuck you.
So please.
Here's where my big opinion comes in. Okay. So, you know, what Agu did is shady. If he's, like, going after a girl, and if you're going after a girl, and then, and on top of that, you're saying, like, oh, no, I'm not going to hook that side of me, you're not conceited again, I'm like a good guy, I want to get to know you, I want to get to know your daughter, and you do that, that's shady as fuck. So Agu is like, you know what, like, you gotta get it together, you can't do that if you're trying to chase a woman. But here's the other side of it. You know, Kamani, you know what this guy is. He's like a man slut, okay? He's obviously a man slut, you saw that. And you know what, rather than being like, you know what, he's hot, I'm, you know, he's hot, I kind of want to bone him or be boned by him, and I just have some fun. You do this whole thing of like, okay, well, you got to earn my trust, you got to do this, you got to do that, da 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 da. I'm like, you know what, you weren't in a relationship with him, honey. When this all, you know, like, it's shady what he did, but you weren't in a relationship, and you were making him jump through hoops, which I think in life, it's always good to make people, you know, you gotta, you know, you do want people to sort of prove themselves, but you're making a, like, you know, he's a man slut, you know? And I'm not,
yeah,
it's not to
not
say
gonna
that,
make
like,
that man is what he is, and also, the last time he did that with Emily, he wasn't dating you, and you gave him shit for it after, yeah. And you knew, and what was his excuse? What were both of their excuses? I was drunk. It doesn't count when I'm drunk. It doesn't count when
and
I'm drunk.
And it's not to say that, oh, like, he gets a free pass because the man doesn't have to change. The man is who he is. He doesn't have to change who he is, and it's the woman who has to change. No, it goes both ways, too, which is that Agu shouldn't have been doing all this, like, oh, this courtship stuff when he knew ultimately he just, you know, like he knew he wouldn't be able to help himself, you know? Like, don't. So both of what I'm saying is you both know what each of you are, and it's like, stop. Like, if you're just sort of, like, honest with the situation, you could have just, like, boned and gotten it over with, or... I'm just saying,
Kamani's
I thought
just
this
ridiculous.
Was so over the
it's
top.
It's not a relationship, and her sobbing about it, and, I mean, Agu's a pig. I'm not even going to say anything nice about him. He's a total pig. But what Kamani's doing is what we always get mad at guys for doing, like on Below Deck Med, when we're like, they don't even know Malia. They're totally just trying to get the hottest piece of meat. You know, it's so offensive. And I love seeing a woman do it because it's a nice turn on Bravo where the woman's like, I just want to use that piece of meat.
Yeah.
And if it was that, I would be okay. If you're going to catfight with Emily and say, listen, you drunk slut, that's my dick for the remainder of this week.
Exactly.
Then
exactly.
Okay.
Objectify
but to
him.
Pretend, yeah, but to fight over him just because he works out and is younger than you and has a big dick and is going to make you look better on TV and like more sexually viable or whatever midlife crisis you're going through. That's just gross, and I don't feel sorry for you, and I'm certainly not going to watch you cry over it like you just lost
I think that's
your
husband. What, and that's, I think, the thing. Like, I think she has a right to be like, fuck you, or like, you know what, like, this is all bullshit. Like, get mad at him. He deserves to get some attitude and all that. But the crying and the locking yourself into rooms and the sobbing and then, like, in the hoodie with the headphones, you know, it's not like this is the end of a 9-month relationship or a 2-year relationship. It was like you guys were flirting with each other and you fell for his shit and now you're humiliated. Okay. But like, this is not, you guys weren't in a relationship. You hadn't even kissed yet.
When she was sitting outside with her hoodie tied tightly around her face, like Kenny from South Park, and then big dark sunglasses, Agu comes outside with a big bowl of like fruit and he's like,
hey, so, you want to talk? Just, no, I don't.
She goes, you, sir, can I help you?
Sir? And he goes, you want to talk? No, I said no.
Okay.
And he walks in just eating his fruit with his mouth open. I mean, yeah. Gross. So basically, this is what I have to say. These people are all nuts, but here's why Larry is best friends with all of them. Because he's like, come on, did you not? I like how he talks, but I can't find the exact line. Because he talks ridiculously. He sort of
has that, he has that drawl. He's like, come on,
No, like his actual language. Oh, he goes, Kabadi, did you think Agu was really the best option after she'd already been with him and he'd already been with her?
Yeah.
And she goes, well, stop trying to R&B me to death, for fuck's sake, yeah. Which is a good point.
Absolutely. But I think she totally is right on that. At some point,
if you don't like R&B, you got to turn the station, girl.
And, you know, one thing that I want to clarify is that, like, I don't want it to be like, oh, Kamani, you should have fucked him, because that's what, if you want a man, you gotta put out for him, and that's what, it's not because of that. But when they say, like,
in the same place,
yeah, he was, no, still, I'm not saying that she should just like fucked him, but it's like, you just have to recognize, yeah, everyone sort of like is their own person in a certain way, and like what Agu is, you know, a man slut, and Emily, it's like, you know, it's like, it's not to, I think someone at one point was like, well, you know, you didn't put out, and so therefore he was bound to go off to Emily, which I think is like not fair to the woman. You know, like a woman's allowed,
not in a relationship, but it's not about being fair.
Thank you.
If but the it's guy's like in this only case, there to fuck, it doesn't matter if it's.
But when
fair.
You're dealing with
if
a man,
if you don't
want
to fuck him, then don't do it. Don't be with him. He wants to fuck people. That's it.
That's exactly, and that's the whole point. Where it's like, in general, it sounds like. I guess what I just wanted to say is I wanted to make sure people realize I wasn't saying, well, if a woman wants the man, she's got to put out. She's got to do this for the man. It's not that, but he's a man slut. And so he's looking to get, he's looking for some action. And if you're not going to give it to him, he's invariably going to find it from somewhere else. And you have to know what you're like getting involved.
He's there to
with.
Fuck. If you don't want to like, fuck, then don't fuck. That's it. You know? And then what's good for the gander is also good for the goose to reverse. I don't like that we slut shame, you know, that we're not allowed, well, not allowed, but you shouldn't be slut shaming a woman, but you should also not be slut shaming a man. That guy's a whore. Everyone knows he's a whore.
Yes.
Emily acting like a giant whore too, whether she's drunk or not, as an excuse. I'm sorry, because that was not assault. She didn't wake up feeling assaulted or anything like that.
He is in Cabo and he's saying, yeah, I want to get some. And I'm horny. I'm in great shape. I'm on this show. I'm in this great villa. Like, I want to do something about it. And I don't begrudge any one of those people if they're single and they just want to do that.
He's a pig, though. You're right about lying.
But he's a pig, though, for acting like he's not, like he doesn't want that.
Yeah,
you know?
He's a pig, but you're dumb for believing it.
They're both
wrong.
And if
you don't know, as a woman as gorgeous as you are, that a man's going to tell you whatever you need to hear to get in your pants. Like, you really think he's going to sit there and try and come up with things to say as he stares at a Day of the Dead painting at a museum? Yeah. I mean, come on.
I just think that I their intentions with what they wanted, and that, and as a result, they wound up in this mess. He just wanted to fuck, but he acted like he wanted a relationship, and I think that she wanted to act like she was like not into it, but I think she wanted something more, and I think as a result, they both got hurt. But you know who I think was the happiest? I think Bianca was the happiest, because then Bianca comes and sits outside. It's like, are you okay? Oh, I hate seeing you cry like this. Don't forget the first episode when Kamani walked in. Remember those looks that Bianca was giving her? Like, who's this bitch? I'm Larry's number one. She could not have been happier to watch Kamani
crying. Misery loves
company. Could not have been happier. Why do you think she wanted that conversation to happen? Because she knew that they were going to have a big fight, and Kamani would be crying, and Bianca is the queen of them all. So I was like...
This was so funny, because she's in the bathroom, Kamani's sobbing, blah, 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 and Bianca's like, I support you. And she goes, how do you think I felt with that? And then Kamani just gets up and storms out.
And then so they ultimately decide that the best thing would be for Emily, like Emily and Kamani can't be roommates. So Emily moves back into Agu's room, and
maybe, you know, if I didn't drink so much or drank less or whatever. And so that whole next day she's not drinking, and she's like, I don't like the drama. And I think it was Malaku, who said, then just stop drinking, stop causing the problems, and you won't have the problems. And she goes, I know, look. And she holds up an Evian bottle.
Third water. But they also show how quickly, like, they're like, Emily was so quick to move back in with Agu. And then next thing you know, she's like, I just think I have to have a conversation with Joseph and say, I can't be committed right now, which is basically her way of saying, okay, let's just, like, get Joseph out of the picture so we can finally fuck, okay?
Yeah, exactly. I'll let him cry for a couple of weeks, miss me, and then I'll get him back when I'm home.
So entertaining. So massively, massively entertaining.
All right. We'll wrap this bitch up, shall we, Ben?
You guys, thanks for listening. We will be back tomorrow to talk some Southern Charm. Wednesday, we got some Below Deck. Thursday, Real Housewives of New York. Friday, Southern Charm Savannah. We'll keep you updated on when that song is on iTunes, and we'll keep you updated with any other interesting news. And in the meantime, keep an eye out for our bonus episode about Big Brother. Lots of fun stuff this week. And thank you for listening. As always, we love it. We appreciate it. And we will talk to you tomorrow. Bye, everyone.
Bye.